Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey, Joe. This is sitting out on your deck with a cigar, a little bourbon as the sun sets, about 80, 85 degrees. That's what that is, isn't it, Ed?
Yeah, it's about right.
All the way. All the way right here. Leave me the hell alone. That's what this is. Let's talk some baseball right now with our buddy from Baltimore Sun, BaltimoreSun.com, courtesy of our Window Nation guest hotline, Jacob Calvin Meyer. What's up, Jacob?
Hey, fellas. If my voice sounds a little bit deeper, it's not because I finally hit puberty. I'm just a little bit sick right now, but we'll push through. This is my MJ flu game right now.
Hey, man. Hey, man, nobody want to hear no excuses. You're going to do the call or you're not going to do the call. We don't want to hear no excuses from you, JCM.
I'm a game day player. Let's go.
My man. Hey, look, we were talking a little while ago. Cedric Mullin named the Athletics April All-Star Team. All right? In your opinion, has Cedric earned a contract extension with the Orioles?
Well, listen, I just want to say, great for him. Just an awesome guy to be around every day in the clubhouse. He's gone through ups and downs the past couple of years, and he started last season really, really poorly, especially in May. And so really great to see him start the season this way. Just imagine where this team would be if it weren't for him.
Jeez.
Yeah, I know. And so has he earned a contract extension? Yeah, probably. Like, I think a lot of these guys have earned contract extensions. Is the organization interested in doing that? Is he one of the players that they're interested in extending? It doesn't sound like it, right? There have been reports that there's been no contact there. And, you know, Mike Elias has said that there are players in the organization that they're interested in extending. And if you put two and two together, it looks like Cedric Mullins isn't one of those guys. Now, that does make some sense when you consider he's, you know, already in his early 30s, and it's kind of confusing to try to piece together what a contract will look like for Cedric Mullins this offseason, right? Because if he keeps playing this way, he's going to get a 4 or 5 year contract, you know, similar to maybe what Anthony Santander got, just because of how well he's playing, and it looks like a return to form for him. If he regresses and goes back to maybe the player he was the past 3 years, which is a little bit above league average hitter, good but not great center field defense, that player might get a 2 year contract or something like that, and then that's within the range for where Baltimore would be interested. It kind of just depends on how well Cedric Mullins plays the rest of the season. And if he keeps playing this way, he's going to get a bag in the offseason, and it's not going to be from the Orioles.
Probably not. One of the things that we were talking about this morning was Ben McDonald was talking about the pitching in AAA right now is really more like AA. There's been a real drop in the pitching. Some guys in the majors, if you're lefty and you're just a decent pitcher, you can be in the majors now. I guess my question is, we have all our veterans are hitting. We talk about Cedric and, you know, Hearn and Ramon and all these guys. But our young players are just not doing what we thought they were going to do. Adley and, you know, Jackson Holiday, guys like that. Curtis Silent J. Do we think there's anything to this where they're not facing, you know, really good pitching, and the Gulf is a really big jump when they come to the majors? It's going to take a while for them to adjust.
Yeah, I think there's a couple things going on here. One is, you're right. This is something that I can't really quantify, but it's something that we've been hearing for years now, which is that the gap between AAA pitching and Major League pitching is getting bigger and bigger.
Yeah.
And so, for example, I'm looking at Coby Mayo and how great he's playing in AAA right now. And he is absolutely annihilating left-handed pitching. The Orioles cannot hit left-handed pitching at all. I think there is a case to be made that Coby Mayo should be on this team so that he can play against left-handed pitchers. However, there's a massive caveat, which is that the left-handed pitchers that he's facing in AAA are not very good, right? And they're nothing like the left-handed pitchers that he would face here. And so part of this team's struggles is a third of their games have come against left-handed pitching. A lot of those lefties are really good pitchers. This team has struggled against lefties since the beginning of last season, and a lot of their young guys are struggling against lefties. The second part of it is I think that there is something mentally to the fact that they are getting down early in so many of these games that a lot of the guys on the team aren't able to maybe be as competitive in the batter's box because they're not used to that. Whereas if you're Cedric Mullins, you have a lot of experience of being competitive in the batter's box when your team's down 10 runs. Ryan O'Hearn has a lot of experience with that going back to his days in Kansas City. Ramon Urias has a lot of experience with that. Ramon Laureano used to play in Oakland, has a lot of experience in that. And so it does make sense that like some of the most productive hitters in this lineup are the guys that have been in a position before where they've been playing for a 12 and 18 team, and the guys who aren't hitting are the ones who don't have that experience.
Here with Jacob Calvert-Meyer, Baltimore Sun, BaltimoreSun.com. Jacob, I said that I've been saying this now for a couple of months, and I stand on this until somebody can prove me wrong. In 22 and especially 23, the Baltimore Orioles were chasers. They were chasing everybody else, even getting 101 wins, like I brought up to Ed. Remember 2023, the Tampa Bay Rays got off to that hot start, and the Orioles were in chase mode that whole time. All attention was on the Rays, even though the Birds won the division. I think somewhere along the line in 2024, they had that old crap moment where they realized that they were the ones being chased. Since that change in position, I don't think they've been able to handle it. I think, you know, maybe a veteran in the clubhouse from the outside coming in and said, hey, guys, you know, this is how you do it. But for some reason, I don't think this team, this young core, has handled expectations well.
Yeah, I think there could be something to that. And just on a human level, right? Think of your job, think of my job, think of anybody's job, and the way that it changes for you mentally and the way your performance can change when the expectations change. I mean, I'm in my third year on the beat. The way I do this job is radically different from my first year when I was the number two under Nathan Ruiz. You know what I mean? So like, that's the way it works, I think, for anybody in any job. Now, how do you fix it? How do you flip that switch? That's the answer that I have no idea what it is. And a lot of people talk about veterans in the clubhouse. And if you can get a Tommy Pham in here, just somebody who's not a really nice guy, and get him in here and he'll shake things up and he'll really hold people accountable. And I don't know, man. Like, I don't know if it's going to work to get in somebody who's like, you know, not the nicest guy to like yell at people, if that's going to work. If I knew that answer, you know, I'd probably be doing a different job and we get paid a lot more money than I currently get paid. So
you handled it, Jacob, because you had a kid. You got a mouth to feed now. That's why you stepped up.
Guys, it's
you got no choice.
That is definitely true. That's what they need to do. All these Orioles players just need to start having kids. start popping them out, and then you'll have that extra motivation that you need.
There you go. I was thinking about what you said about left-handed. I think you come to the majors and you're facing left-handed pitchers in AAA. Then you're coming up and you're facing Skubal, Crochet, Chris Sale, Blake Snell. That's who you're facing up here as far as left-handed pitching goes. All right, but anyway, back to business. What do you think about, I mean, taking a step back and taking a 10,000-foot view of the team right now, they're not out of it. It's just May. You know, it's the 2nd of May, so certainly not out of the playoff race. However, you know, we're expecting to get back players from injury, pitchers in particular, hopefully soon, next month, by May, by June, whatever. Do you think that'll actually help them go forward? Because they're not going to come back and be, you know, in great form the second they got it. We saw with Batista. He came back and he was a little erratic, and now he's got his rhythm. But it takes a bit. So how do you feel about this team going forward with the injury recovery?
Yeah, the interesting thing with Bautista is imagine if I had told you in the middle of spring training when he was looking shaky that by the end of April he would look like legitimate Felix, but this team would be 12-18. But this team would be 12-18. I think most people would have been quite surprised. No, I think there is. I don't need to explain what the bearish case for this team is. We watch them every day. We know what the bearish case for this team is. The bullish case is, listen, the schedule gets a lot easier this month. If you can tread water, get closer back to 500, when you get Zach Eflin back, when you get Colton Cowser back, again, I cannot state enough how big of a loss Colton Cowser has been. If you can tread water when you get those guys back, perhaps Grayson Rodriguez comes back in July, Kyle Bradish comes back in August. If you put yourself in a position at the deadline where you can go out and make a splash, it is possible for this team to be one in the second half that really ascends and makes a run for it. But they need to put themselves in position in the meantime to be one of those teams. Because if they keep falling behind this month, and if they get swept by the Twins, this thing might be cooked. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. But I'm still... It's hard for me, based off of 1 month of baseball, to like change my priors about this team. I looked up some really interesting numbers yesterday about the offense, because depending on what numbers you look like, it's either really good and they're going to positively regress, or the offense is really bad. Like the expected stats look great. They're fourth in like hard hit rate and average exit velo, and the teams ahead of them are the Yankees, the Red Sox, and the Mets, who are like three of the five best teams in baseball.
Yeah.
But then at the same time, they literally cannot hit left-handed pitching. They're the worst team against lefties in the majors. And they're the worst team in the majors against runners in scoring position. So it's kind of like, which one of those is going to win out? Are they going to regress offensively? Or are they going to continue to flounder in some of these big moments? And honestly, we'll just have to wait and see.
Jacob Calvin-Meyers, thanks a lot, my friend.
Thanks, guys.
Hey, Ed, one of the things also against left-handed pitchers, who are the better hitters? Gunnar Henderson, Cedric Mullins, Ryan O'Hearn, Jackson. These are left-handed hitters.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that, you know, I'm just curious midway
point.
That has something to do. They're better hitters than left-handed hitters.
Yeah.
410-583-1057 is the number. Dick Girardi joins us at 9 o'clock, but on the other side. In honor of what Tyrese Halliburton's dad, John, did, what's the most embarrassing thing you've seen a parent do at a sporting event? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities. And no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. ExpressPros.com.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
You heard about it by now. John Halliburton, as his son's team, the Indiana Pacers, eliminated the Milwaukee Bucks in game five of the playoffs, he walked on the court and just stared down former two-time MVP, Giannis. Giannis looked at him in the eye. Later on, they had words head-to-head. And from that point on, it's been a huge story. John Halliburton pushed back and said, I wasn't staring at him. I was staring through him. I looked through him.
Yeah.
That is a message in and of itself. If folks don't understand that. I don't see you. I see through you. That's an insult in and of itself. But what's the most embarrassing thing that you ever saw a parent do at a sporting event?
Boy, I went through a list of this today. And I mean, this is the major leagues. This is professional basketball. But I remember seeing some outrageous stuff parents did. Like, and some of them were coaches. Some were just, parents on the side. But I remember I was at a wrestling match. And I can't remember what school it was. In the West, like in the Pikesville area over that way. Uh-huh. And they didn't have, it wasn't properly set up. So the stands were very close. People were standing actually near the mats.
Right.
And my son was on the mat. He was wrestling. And this father is standing over his son and my son as they're grappling on the mat, screaming at his son to, like, saying all kinds of things. Get him. Hurt him a little bit. Get him. I ran from where I was, knocked his mom out of the way. I ran past, I almost knocked her down to get to this guy, elbowed him out of the way, and started screaming at this father. Like, these kids, I'm talking about 10, 11 years old. You're acting like an ass standing over children, you stupid bastard. It's like, I really want to just grab him by the throat and
paintbrush slap him.
Oh my, I was livid that he would do this to kids. And I'm not going to do it to my son. I'm not going to stand there and watch. And then the little things, like, I remember, like, I was playing, these are all those things, he's standing there, I'm watching, he's playing Little League Baseball, and this father, who I was friends with, standing next to me, and there's two stories about this guy, two different sports. We're standing there and watching the kids. His kid drops a pop fly. He starts screaming at his son. You can't catch. That was easy. That was right. I'm like, I couldn't take it anymore. These kids are like nine. Mm-hmm. I said, are you out of your mind? I said, they're kids. None of them can catch. Like, they're 9 years old. It's like, why would you do this? I scream at your child, humiliate him in front of his friends. It's like the same guy. Now it's football season. We're playing, and we're getting crushed. There was a team. It was one of those teams where they would recruit kids and pay their fee to get in the league and all this stuff. They ended up getting the best young players. And we were losing like 40-8. It was ridiculous. That same guy, He must be, he's yelling as it, you know, we're switching possession. First D, get on the field, first D. There's like 5 minutes left in the game. Mm. It's 40-8, and you're screaming first defense. What kind of a schmuck are you? It's
maybe,
not just that you're running up the
maybe
score.
Maybe they haven't played enough minutes.
No, the first D team. That's my point. The point is exactly that, except no. It's like, not, it's not even the running up the score bit. What about these kids, these little kids who were like whatever they were at the time? They wait. They want to play. You're not going to lose. You're up by five touchdowns. Like, let the other kids play. Put in your second stringers. Put in your bench players. What's going to happen? Like, I'm like, I don't even know what goes through people's minds like this. But yeah, I've seen plenty. I could go on and on about things that have annoyed me.
I had one up in, not Joppa. What's that little town above Joppa? In Harford County. Oh, I forget the name of it again. Oh, Edgewood. Edgewood. So we were up, that's Edgewood right above Joppa, right?
They're close.
We were in Edgewood AAU tournament. It's funny because this was my story. My buddy Tommy, who was assistant coach on this team, just texted me in. They texted us in. I was involved in this. I'm coaching my Maryland Cubs team, and these guys had, the officiating was horrible. You know, when officials start calling the kid's name, it was a local AAU tournament. It wasn't one of these big ones. They know the kids by name and talking to them. So this is horrible calls. So it was a no call at the end of the game. So after the game, I went to, and Tommy's my witness, went to the official, like, yo, what was that call? Just like I'm asking you. He threatens me. Young dude. He threatens me. Hey. Somebody else comes over. They got in my face. Now, here are the parents on this team. Pat Conway, another guy named Pat from Harford County, Miguel Rodriguez, Tommy, my buddy Terrence. You know Terrence, Ed.
Of course, yeah.
Terrence is a top-notch security guy for the Nation of Islam.
I know.
He protects some of the top people in the Nation of Islam. All right, so this is, you know that from being in New York. These dudes are thorough and legitimate.
Yeah, they're for real. Yeah,
they're for real.
I told you, whenever NOI had security in the projects, they were safe. They didn't need the police.
You didn't need the police, all right?
Nope.
Terrence is, you met Terrence. Terrence is that dude.
Mm-hmm.
So they're acting like absolute fools. The parents who were friends with the ref, it all started for me saying, ooh, what was that call at the end of the game? They're coming out of the stands. Terrence turns around and walks away from me. I'm like, why is Terrence walking away from this? He had a use can't leave moment. He stood in front of the door making sure no one came in and no one left.
No kidding.
I swear to you. Let's just say the dads on that team moved me out the way and without even throwing a punch, cleared that gym in about 60 seconds. Cleared the gym. Yeah. And it was so embarrassing because the way these guys, the about face that these cowboys did when our parents came out, our dads came out of the stands was just... It was funny, and the daughters of these men were just embarrassed because their dads got punked.
Yeah.
They just got in their gym. They got punked all over. It started on Misa asking, and again, Tommy's listening. I just asked, dude, what was that call? We had a shooter go up, and she was tackled. No call. I said, dude, what was that call? What was the call? And he threatened me, and dads came out of the stands coming after me. For asking a call, and then the other dads from my team came out, and I said, Terrence went to the door, stopped in front of the door, let nobody in and nobody out. That was the most. I got a couple more too. Want to hear from you? 410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. In honor of what Tyrese Halliburton's dad did this week, what's the most embarrassing thing you've ever seen a parent do at a sporting event? Want to hear from you right here on the Fan.
It might have seemed like I was looking at him, but I really wasn't. I was looking through him. That's right. How I was in the moment. I know it looked like we were looking, like I was staring him down, you know, but it wasn't like that. It was in the moment as if I was looking right through him. And yes, I had the banner in my hand going, and I was yelling, yay, yay, yay. Giannis never said anything to me. I never said anything to Giannis.
Yay. Grown-ass man yelling yay. Joe, I'm looking at you. I'm looking your way, Joe, but I don't see you. I see those objects behind you that I can't really see. I'm looking through you, Joe. You may think I'm staring at you, but I'm looking through you. Don't be offended by me. I don't see you, Joe. Come on, man. Come on. Almost made me say something. See, that's what I hate BS, man. Say, yeah, I stared him down. I'm sorry I did it. I shouldn't have done it. You know, I was in the moment. I'm done. Let's move on from this. Don't give me that. I got one more for you, Ed, before we move on to the callers and the texts.
Go.
High school doubleheader. My team played already. Boys' team played behind us. And evidently in the recruiting process, the coach had promised all these things to one of the players. We need him. We did this. We did that. Player wasn't playing a lot. Wasn't doing a lot. Wasn't progressing a lot. The mom literally stood behind the bench and berated the coach the entire game. Ugh. You promised him this. You promised him that. Going on and on and on the entire game. I think the players on the bench were more embarrassed than the kid because he seemed to be for it. Maybe that's just how he came up.
He's just used to it. Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
Right. But yeah, it was Ed, it started midway through the first quarter and it did not end. It continued after the game. She followed him towards the locker room. Ugh. Security had to stop her. The most embarrassing thing you've seen a parent do at a sporting event, Beef Stew in Windsor Mill. What's up, Beef Stew?
How you doing this morning, fellas? Good to talk to you both again.
You too.
How are you?
I don't call in a lot, but when I have a story that makes sense, I feel like I have to. My nephew, by the way, is Jalen Cook. Just got a scholarship to East Strasburg University to play football. Probably walk onto the basketball team. Congrats, Jalen. When he was coming up, there was a team that they played against. They had a kid on the team, and I'll never forget his name because his name was Rodney, because his father must have screamed at 95 times per minute at his son during this game. And it was, they were on defense, and Rodney, get up on the ball, Rodney, get up. You missed your assignment, Rodney, every play, Rodney. And I was feeling bad for the kid, but I was like, well, you know, my nephew's team's about to score, so at least he'll come off the field. Rodney played offense, too. So he had to deal with his dad on offense and defense. And so poor Rodney never got a break. I'll never forget the kid. I wonder whatever happened to Rodney. But Rodney got it on defense. And just when I thought Rodney was getting a break, he come right back out on offense and had to deal with his dad again. So poor Rodney. Wish you success. I hope you got a scholarship, too. But congrats to my nephew.
What position does your nephew play?
He's graduating college.
BC,
I'm sorry?
What position does your nephew play?
Yeah, he's a two-way player in high school. I think they're going to have him as a wide receiver in college. And I'll probably walk on to the basketball team because he has, as the kids say, bunnies. He just set a county record for the high jump in track. He never did it before. He just walked onto the track and was like, I think I can do that, and then set a record. So
I had bunnies too, but it wasn't for jumping. It was a different type of bunnies. Now, is this your sister's son or your brother's son?
Sister's son, yeah.
No, I'm glad. I'm glad he took your sister's athleticism because you can't chew gum and walk at the same time, Beef Stew.
I can barely walk at all. Actually. So.
Hey man, good to get to hear from you. All her ball as well, buddy.
Pleasure. Thank you, guys.
All right. Rodney. I will say this. Yeeta and I were the type of parents at sporting events that never said a word.
Yeah.
The first year, in middle school. And my daughter's first year of coaching high school basketball, and I know Rob Bonner listens to the show. He can back me up on this one. I didn't even sit in the bleachers because I didn't want to be a part of the talk. I would stand by Mike Naughton by the wall away from everybody, and I never said a word because being a coach, at the time I was coaching college ball, I understand coaches don't want to hear that crap. And I don't want to hear what parents have to say about this kid should be playing, this coach doesn't know. I don't want to hear that. So I just kind of stood off on the side with the AD where I didn't have to hear anything.
What's funny you say that. I mentioned the wrestling stuff. I found of all the sports, I mean, football's wrestling was the most intense as a parent because some of these kids were just, you know, if you're decent, you're a 10-year-old wrestling, a 13-year-old, and you're in the same weight class, but you're very different in your progression in life. Mm-hmm. Who's hit puberty, who hasn't, and the nutty parents. It got so, after a while, I would do what you did, separate myself from the other parents. I'd put in my earbuds, and I'd play, when my son was on the mat, there was a song where he had colic when he was a little baby. Mm-hmm. Scream and cry. It was terrible. I'd play this song for him, drive him around, and he would somehow calm down and stop crying and all. So I'd play it in my head to calm me down when he was on the mat. And I blocked out the parents. Was wondering where the Lions are, but Bruce Coburn, by the way. But I would play that in my head, in my earbuds, and it would just, because I had to block out the parents, because it would make me nuts. And I didn't want to get into altercations, arguments, potential, you know, physical altercations. I just had to separate myself because it was too much.
Brian says he did the same thing you did. He had his earbuds in, but he also adds, parents that yell were parents that never could play.
Yeah.
I mean, could never play.
I believe that.
I do. I do, because athletes respect athletes. You know what it takes, the level of concentration and things like that it takes. Now, I'm not saying all parents who didn't play are like that. I'm not saying that because, again, you didn't play anything, but she was extremely quiet. Even when I coached and my kids didn't play, you did not hear from her at all. And again, I think maybe that was from being a coach's wife. I don't know, but she wasn't an athlete at all. But you never heard from her. My mother, same way. My mother wasn't an athlete at all. My mother didn't understand sports. But when she came to my games, I never heard her. She could have cheered probably, but I never heard her voice over other people. And I was never embarrassed. My dad would come to my practices. He wouldn't say anything during the practice, but during the ride home, oh, my gosh. All right, man. I know, because you would have made that play. You made every play. Mm-hmm. I hope he's not listening. He's 80 years old, and I'm still scared of him.
I should be.
I'm still afraid of that dude, man. 410-583-1057 is the number. Dick Girardi joins us to talk about the Kentucky Derby at 9:00. But on the other side, Ed Norris, there's a lot of LeBron James hate going around right now because of his early exit. Can you think of an American athlete right now that's more hated or more polarizing than LeBron James? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game, like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way, with stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Is there an American athlete who's more polarizing than LeBron James? Can you think of one, Ed?
I mean, Floyd Mayweather. Currently, probably not. Floyd Mayweather was one for me. Bryce Harper was. I mean, he's still playing. I mean, guys like that. And Bryce has changed his act a little bit. I think that's changed. But no, LeBron, and to me, and we've had this discussion on air 100 times, it's confounding. It really is. I don't get it, but yeah. He is a lightning rod.
I do get it. I get it. I used to say I didn't get it, mm-hmm. but I do get it. There, LeBron James represents the change in the National Basketball Association. Is he responsible for it? I don't know, but he represents it. Yeah. He represents the let's go play with our friends. He represents the flopping. He represents the business decisions that they make on the floor. He represents that. Again, he may not be responsible for it, but when you are the face of the league and you are a part of that culture, he held a press conference saying he was taking his talents to South Beach. Now, the money went to the Boys and Girls Club, and we forget about that. Forget about that, because we'd never seen anything like that before. That press conference led to basically what looked like it was a rap video when he and you know what I mean? When they got together in Miami and all the people, it looked like a music video. So he represents the turning, the changing of the National Basketball Association. Mm-hmm. I think that's why.
Yeah, there's that. He named himself King James before we stepped on an NBA floor. I mean, he did that himself, what I've heard. And then, the decision, that's like you just said, he's imagining to have him being in question, I'm taking my talents to South Beach and all this. It was just so stupid and overdramatic and unnecessary. And it's been forever, but he is extraordinarily talented.
And, see, what you just said is what others think. You said stupid, unnecessary, and over the top. That's how people see LeBron James.
Yeah, but he's never done anything to embarrass the league off the court.
Nope.
That's what I don't get. There's so many people in sports who are kind of just bad people or flawed people, do dumb things, point guns at each other in locker rooms, punch, it's domestic violence, all kinds of. He's had none of this. He just, arrogant guy, he's just very confident in his abilities and, but like most athletes, a bit arrogant.
He's been squeaky clean. I just hope the rumors that are out about him right now are not true.
Me too.
I hope those are not true, man. For those of you who wonder, he's alleged, with the P. Diddy stuff. I'm hoping those things are true.
I put those things, honestly, in a different bucket.
Yeah.
Who the hell knows?
Unfortunately, in situations like that, you got to ask yourself this question. I'm sorry. It may make you uncomfortable, but who's going to die for nobody to find out? Because that's what's going to happen. You and I both know that. Somebody's ultimately going to take the lose their life over this, so nobody will know the truth ever.
Who knows? It's ugly.
Yeah, it's very ugly. 410-583-1057 is the number. I don't know of an athlete who's more he's never played professionally. Shador Sanders.
Yes.
Yeah. Am I right?
Yeah. Oh,
he's,
for sure.
He's probably right now the most polarizing athlete in American sports right now.
Yeah, certainly. He may be more polarizing than LeBron right now.
Yeah.
But he's at it may just be like a Roman candle burn with him because he just, comes up, fizzles out, and you don't hear from him again. LeBron's been, he's been like this for his whole career.
Man, that kid, what he has to be phenomenal because anything less than that is going to be, is he not the most popular fifth-round draft pick ever?
Popular, yeah. Well-known for sure. I can't think of another one.
Seriously, man. He might be the most popular. I think, personally, despite everything everybody says about him, I think the kid's going to be a player. I don't think he's a franchise quarterback to where he's going to carry a team. But I think if you put him in a good offense,
he'll have an NFL career.
He'll have an NFL career. Yeah. I think the kid's a player. I think he's going to make people pay for that fifth-round draft pick. He's better than that. He's much better than that. 410-583-1057. Hakeem in Middle River. What's up, Hakeem?
Hey, Rob, I got to check you on a couple of things, man. You just literally said that LeBron was the change of the league as far as the playing with the friends, playing with superstars, and flopping. Like, it's plenty of videos that Jordan was flopping, and the referees were saying, I'm sorry, Michael Jordan, this and that. That ain't why they mad at LeBron.
Hakeem, I'm going to stop you now. I'm going to stop you now because you completely misrepresented what I said. I said he represents that. He may not be responsible for that. That's exactly what I said. I said he may not be responsible for that, but he represents it. Is that not what I said?
I apologize.
Okay. All right. I'm not saying he's responsible for it, but Hakeem, you got to admit, when people criticize LeBron James, what do they criticize him for?
The trolls always come out and say that he started all this.
Exactly. Right. But I didn't. I said he may not be responsible for it.
Do you think he flops?
But he represents it. I definitely think he's flopping.
I think that's what Hakeem is saying.
He's not the only one who does. But Hakeem is right. He's not the only one who does it. But he represents that in the national. He's not the only one who flops. He's not the only one who joins his friends on other teams. He's not. He's not the only one that makes business decisions on the floor. But 20 years from now, 10 years from now, when you look back on this era of NBA basketball, LeBron James represents all of that. He does. Whether you, just like, you know, the New York Knicks, oh no, I'm sorry, the Detroit Pistons represents the toughness of the NBA back in the 80s and 90s. Am I right?
Sure did.
They weren't the only ones playing tough. But when you look back on that era, when you think of that, you think Pistons. Yep. When you look back on this era of NBA basketball and all those things, you're going to think LeBron. He's not the only one. And like I just, and I'm glad Hakeem, you know, when I corrected him, he said, you know what, my bad. Because I said he might not be responsible for it, but he represents it. That's all.
Can we ever do a series, just a segment on that Pistons bad boys team?
I would love to.
Lambeer.
I would love to, man. Oh, my God. They changed. That was the turning of basketball back then, man. That's when basketball was awesome.
I hate to say it, but yes, because then I'll make age myself. But that's why.
Say it.
I love that era because, you know, this is. And at the time they were doing this, you had, you know, guys like Charles Oakley from my team. Mm-hmm. He was playing with the Knicks.
Miami Heat.
Yeah,
a lot of tough
guys.
But the Pistons represent it.
Yes.
Cordell Woodland going to represent us at 9:30. But on the other side, Kentucky Derby tomorrow. Dick Girardi joins us up next on The Fan.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colone for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.